The hit dog yelps. Yeah, that's what Clyde told me this morning. Clyde and I were sitting in our office this morning, and Clyde says, you know, the hit dog yelps. I know, what are you talking about? Well, we were talking about that if you throw a rock, now I don't recommend this because I love dogs, but if you throw a rock in a pack of dogs, the hit dog yelps. In other words, when you give out a truth and one person vehemently complains, then that person has a problem with that truth. The people who are upset with this I thing, like, how dare you free us to come across as if we might be stuck up and unholy and unhumble, they're the ones that have the problem with self. I said that to you yesterday. You find out who has the problems when you give out the truth, and that's a reflection on them. Have I introduced myself yet? Hi, this is Martin Zender. It reflects on them when they get all bent out of shape. And it's the same with any other truth, really. Any other kind of sin, sex, this is especially true with sex. Clyde and I, we teach on human sexuality and then we move on and people yelp and boy, you know that they got problems. And when they complain that we're liberating people and teaching about what God teaches, you figure they have some kind of sexual issue. They're afraid to be liberated. People fear freedom. I go back to the Shawshank Redemption, and Red, the character Red, talks about what it means to be institutionalized. It's when you get so used to being in prison that somebody opens a door for you and you don't come out, and you're afraid to come out. And you talk about how bad freedom must be, and really, we can't trust ourselves in the outside world. Morgan Freeman, by the way, that's the guy who played Red in Shawshank Redemption. And it turns out that you really don't like freedom, and you have your own issues, you have your own hang-ups. So the hit dog yelps. Want to make sure you understand 2 Corinthians 5:16 and 17. I know I talked about this yesterday, what happened at the cross. We're in part 4 of the I cycle, or you really could call this the I circle. Paul says, we from now on are acquainted with no one according to flesh. This is a challenge to you. Well, it's a challenge to Christ to do it through you. But you see what I just did? I just took it from the relative. This is a challenge to you. I want you to think this way. And I was worried for a second that you would think, Martin's telling us to do something. People panic when you exhort them to do something. Start thinking this way. But how can I unless God causes me to do it? Well, we're going to look at the absolute, the relative perspective. And I think this is what's keeping some people from truly living and not living without care. They're being too careful, and it's costing them. It's costing them fun. It's costing them a good time. Well, so many of you are going to be standing at the dais or the great white throne and be going, man, I blew it. Can I go back? I didn't know I was allowed to have that much fun. I didn't know I was allowed to be that free. Yeah, you are. If you could only realize it now, you can live it up. So we from now on are acquainted with no one according to flesh. Even if we have known Christ according to flesh, nevertheless now we know him so no longer. So that if anyone is in Christ, that's you. There is a new creation. The primitive passed by. The primitive passed by. You don't have to be careful anymore. Lo, there has come new. And so again, those who knew Jesus Christ as the humble minister of the circumcision, they know him now as the glorified, resurrected Christ. Now, instead of law, we have grace. Instead of considering ourselves in accord with the old humanity, that every second we have to be careful in case we blow it, now you can consider yourself in accord with the new humanity. And Galatians 5:1, for freedom, Christ freed us. This Paul guy, I like this guy. He had no problem using the pronoun. Listen to this. In 1 Corinthians 15:10, by the grace of God, I am what I am. He uses it twice in one sentence. By the grace of God, I am what I am. I love that. And we too, like Paul, can grow in our realization of God, grow in the realization that he's our life. We don't lose our identity or ourself. We gain it. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul was a stubborn son of a bitch when he was a Pharisee, and he remained a stubborn son of a bitch when he was a man of God. It was just channeled. His basic personality didn't change. The I didn't change, the basic self, but it became transformed by the cross, and now he could be himself. He had discovered himself, and now that personality of his, that, you know, go get him guy, that was now transformed, and he became a servant of God. So you don't lose yourself in that sense. You gain it. You have an identity. It's your identity, and you have a name. Paul knew who he was. He knew that his old I was dead with Christ. And again, those references are Romans 6, 8, Colossians 2, 20. And he knew his new I was Christ. He knew what he was. He knew what he wasn't, and he was that way by grace. He didn't give up who he was. He actually found his true self in Christ. I know this doesn't sound like a Christian message. And the people who haven't progressed in their spiritual development to this last stage of the I cycle, they appear to have lost sight of themselves. It's an erasure. They erase themselves. They don't trust it any. They don't trust it. They don't trust the new I that God has made and is making of them. And as I've said, those not making it back full circle in this spiritual journey, they're going to appear to be afraid to speak of themselves using those deadly, deadly personal pronouns. Without getting back to the full circle, your language is going to become stilted. It's going to become weird. It's going to become uncomfortable and detached regarding yourself. And I gave you the example of people afraid to put their names on an article. You won't be able to thank these people for anything because they will awkwardly deflect anything personal back to God. It's so awkward for them to take this praise. And so they deflect it. They defer to God. Don't thank me. It was all God. I'm going to talk more about that. Again, that's immaturity. Now, here's the Apostle Paul. How many times did the Apostle Paul use the personal pronoun? This is going to come as a surprise to many people. Paul uses I in his letters. Well, where else would he use it? Between 700 and 1,200 times, depending on which translation you use. So let's just find the median there, and let's say Paul used 1,000 times. Paul used the personal pronoun I, 1,000 times, and he uses me between 200 and 300 times. Let's call it 250 times, again, depending on which English version you use. Paul's use of the personal pronouns flowed out of his writing, because to this man, to live was Christ. And he had a full understanding, a full grasp of God's sovereignty in his life. Because God's sovereignty in his life informed him, fueled him. It was a continued circumstance. I told you before that God orders your circumstances, so you don't have to sit on a sofa and wonder all day what God's will is for your life, because God's not going to tell you to go for a walk. He's not going to tell you to get dinner ready. He's not going to tell you to quit your present job and apply for another one. He's not going to tell you in words to get married. You know, it's not the day when God writes with his finger on the wall. But when you realize he's the God of every circumstance, that God is operating all things, and in him we live and move and are, Acts 17, 24 or 25, something around there, then you're going to realize that your circumstances are telling you things, and what you're thinking is telling you things. Do you trust the Spirit of God makes his home in you? I don't think a lot of you do. You don't trust it. God gives you thoughts based on circumstances, based on who he made you. And if you don't think he made you, if you think you have free will, no wonder you're worried whether or not you're in conformity with the will of God. Just act. Do it. Do it. And if God doesn't really want you to do it, he'll put a stop sign up. So as a result of this spiritual maturity, Paul could freely speak of himself. Paul recognized that his life was Christ. Here's the verse I've been quoting forever here. Philippians 1:21, to me to live is Christ. To me to live is Christ. Christ was Paul's life. In fact, Paul went so far in this view, he so absorbed this and lived it, that he even declared he could save people. That's right. The Apostle Paul said he could save people. Let's go to Romans 11:14. Well, let's start with 13. Now, to you am I saying to the nations, inasmuch as indeed then I am the apostle of the nations, I am glorifying my dispensation, if somehow I should be provoking those of my flesh to jealousy and should be saving some. I love this. One sentence. Let me read this again. Romans 11:13. Now to you am I saying to the nations, inasmuch as indeed then I am the apostle of the nations, I am glorifying my dispensation. Paul is glorifying his dispensation. Well, why shouldn't he? He got it from Christ and he appreciates this fact, and the guy's spiritual. If somehow I should be provoking those of my flesh to jealousy and should be saving some of them. Paul's saying that I should be saving some of my brothers in accord with flesh, that I should be saving things. Paul, who do you think you are? How can you save people? What, you're going to save them? Only God can save. Well, Paul was a relative savior, not an absolute savior. He understood that God can only save. I'm going to look at this absolute relative if I have time here, but God really saved them. But Paul was the minister, and so he's free to throw around that pronoun. What did I tell you? Look at 1 Corinthians 9:22. Well, let's start with verse 19. This is juicy. I didn't even count the number of pronouns in that last verse. Count them for yourself. I think there was four in one sentence. Verse 19 of 1 Corinthians 9. For being free of all, I enslave myself to all, that I should be gaining the more. That I should be gaining the more. Paul is gaining souls. That's his plan, to gain souls. He's going to save people. That I should be gaining the more. And I became to the Jews as a Jew, that I should be gaining Jews. To those under law as under law, not being myself under law, that I should be gaining those under law. Those without law as without law, that I should be gaining those without law. I became as weak to the weak, that I should be gaining the weak. To all have I become all, that I should undoubtedly be saving some. That I should undoubtedly be saving some. You arrogant bastard. No, Paul got it. He made it back full circle to the new creation I. To all have I become all, that I should undoubtedly be saving some. Now all I am doing because of the evangel, that I may becoming a joint participant in it. 1 Timothy 4:16. Paul to Timothy, end of 15 here. In these things be, that your progress may be apparent to all. Attend to yourself and to the teaching. Be persisting in them, for in doing this you will save yourself as well as those hearing you. Paul to Timothy, you will save yourself. If you persist in these things I write to you, you will save yourself. You're going to save yourself. Hey, wait a minute, Martin. Isn't that a mainstream Christianity message? It is, if you're considering this after the old humanity. But we died, and living in us is Christ. Therefore, Paul can say, in doing these things, you will save yourself as well as those hearing you. That is a bold statement from the new creation, from the new man, from the man who recognizes we have no confidence in the flesh. Same guy that said that, folks. He said, we have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence. Zip, not a none. And yet now he's saying, I could save people? What happened to the guy with no confidence? That's the only reason he can say, I can save people, because he has no confidence. All right, wow, I can't believe I'm out of time. I know I'm maybe getting repetitive here with you, but this is such an important principle, and I pray that you're being liberated by this. Tomorrow, I want to go to one of the most perfect absolute relative verses, Philippians 2, 12, and 13, and I still got to give you the amazing verse, Galatians 2, verse 20. Man, I wanted to get to that today. That is juicy. We're going to wring that out, put it in the cup, add some stevia, and make a delicious calorie-free drink.